The book of Ruth, you know, this past week, I realized again why this book is meaning so much to me. As we talked about last week, the book of Ruth is kind of like an everyday book. It's a book of the Bible that doesn't contain any supernatural acts of God that we see in other parts of Scripture. There's no prophet showing up. There's no axe head floating on the water. There's no seas parting. There's no fish and bread being multiplied. Yet one of the things we want to remember in the book of Ruth is the hidden hand of God. It is not as if God is absent. But God is active, and he's bringing about his purposes in the life of his people. And we want to look to that to have hope. And so as we look this morning in Ruth chapter 2, we want to look at God's people being under the wing of God, under his wing. It's a beautiful picture. We'll find it here in about the middle of the chapter as we read through this. And if we were to think about chapter 1 that we looked at last week, and if we were to say, is there a theme, is there a term that kind of encapsulates the message of Ruth 1? Well, we would think of the word bitter, very bitter experience. If you remember in Ruth chapter 1, Naomi loses her husband, and then she loses her two sons, and she's left in a foreign land with a famine back home. But then she hears word at the very end of it that the Lord's providing food, and she goes back home to Bethlehem. But even when she arrives there amongst her home, she says, don't call me Naomi, which means pleasant. Call me Mara, which means bitter. For the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. So if bitter is kind of the key word or term that we could use to kind of frame or think of chapter 1, as we turn to chapter 2, the word here would be different. The word for chapter 2 would maybe be sweetness or mercy. It's a very different flavor in chapter 2. And so as we walk through chapter 2, as we read through chapter 2, I want you to look for the way that it presents the hidden work of God in a very different manner. And look at how people respond to that as their hearts are on display in their actions. So Ruth chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I have found favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and she passed to and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. and also pull out some from the bundles for her and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today, and where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I worked today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with this young man, with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We pray that you would open our eyes to behold wonderful things here. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to each one of us where we are. For we come from so many different circumstances and situations. Each of us experiencing the tribulations and trials, the suffering, the struggles of this world this week. And so, Lord, we pray that even now, let this respite be a time where we are refreshed and renewed by your word, by your spirit, by who you are. And so, Lord, enlarge our understanding, our vision of you. Deepen our faith and our trust. Grow us today in these moments, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we come to chapter 2, a chapter that we could say is more about sweetness and mercy than the bitterness and loss that Ruth faced in chapter 1. But one of the things I want us to notice is the hearts of the people in chapter 2. And specifically, we're going to get to Naomi's heart. Because one of the things that Naomi reveals to us is that we, as humans, have very capricious hearts. Our hearts flip and they flop. And usually, our hearts change due to the circumstances and situations we're in. And we're going to see that with Naomi, but we're going to see a contrast and the hearts of Boaz, and the heart of even Ruth. So let's look at the orientation of these key figures' hearts as we consider chapter 2 and work our way through it. And first, I want to look at Boaz. Verse 1 starts off giving us an idea of who Boaz is. Boaz is what kind of man? Verse 1. He is a worthy man. Already, we're being prepared for this man's godliness, his character. He is a worthy man. He is of the clan of Elimelech, making him an eligible redeemer. Now, some of us are familiar with this idea of redeemer. We've been Bible students for quite some time, and we know what the redeemer is, but some of us might not be as familiar with this idea of a redeemer. And the idea of a redeemer is a provision that God gave his people, knowing that our prosperity is very dependent on one another, especially for women. Remember, we talked about last week that a woman's security is in her husband and her future is in her sons. And so if she loses her husband, there goes her security. And if she has no sons, she has no future. Well, in God's plan, he provided for this through this idea of a kinsman redeemer, someone who would come along and marry the widow and give her sons that technically would be sons of the husband that she lost, and carry on that line to provide, to even redeem. Should you find yourself in severe financial hardship in the Old Testament, you could sell yourself into servitude and you would be someone's technically slave. But a kinsman redeemer could come along and purchase you out of that slavery. This is the image of the redeemer. And we see here that Boaz is a redeemer for Naomi. He's a worthy man, a godly man. And we see this character in the way that he interacts with others. After being introduced in verse 1, Boaz shows up in his field. He comes, it's his field, he's the manager. He wants to check on his workers, his reapers, to see how things are going. And notice the way that he greets his workers in verse 4. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." I imagine this wasn't the first time that he had greeted them that way. But Boaz was a godly man, and his faith and trust in the Lord was evident in every area of his life. It was evident in the way that he treated his servants, his employees, we could say, those who were beneath him. He treated them with the faith that he has in the Lord. And it was evident. He greeted them, and he wanted them to know that out of everything that they're facing today, our relationship with the Lord is the most important. So the Lord be with you is how he greeted them. A warm greeting. A greeting of blessing. A greeting of encouragement in the Lord. But after this, after he greets them, notice what he does next. He recognizes Ruth. He recognizes her as being new. You see, there's other women who would come along and glean in his fields. We get that from the chapter. Again, this is another way that God would provide for the needy in the community. The women could go to the fields, and they were able to go in the corners of the fields and the edges and get the wheat and the grains that were left behind by the reapers. And so Ruth is here, and she's gleaning, and Boaz recognizes she's not one of the usuals. She's new. And so he inquires as to her identity. And even here, as he learns about her identity, he demonstrates his faith and his care for Ruth. I mean, notice how he provides for her. First, he offers her safety. He calls on her, "Stay here, remain with my women, because I care for them, I protect them. I've told my workers to look out for them." And then he provides sustenance. She can drink from the vessels of water provided for the servants. And then he invites her to this bountiful meal, even sending her away with leftovers that she takes for Naomi. This is an abundance of food. Notice the way it pictures it. She could dip her morsel in the wine. This is a good meal, a meal of even joy, as wine is pictured as that in the Old Testament, a time of joy, refreshing the heart. And she has so much, she is satisfied. And then she packs up a little bag. Probably not one of those little white containers you get with a Chinese food, but she packs up a little bag, care package, to take home to Naomi. He provides for her, and then he gives her an indication of why. Everything he does for her, he does for Ruth, out of faith again, believing that she came seeking the Lord. And so he demonstrates his faith and her sincerity by providing for her. Boaz's heart is on display in what he does, his consistency and the comprehensive way his faith directs how he interacts with employees and then aliens. Remember, Ruth is an alien. To give you an idea, imagine you owned a farm in Arizona. And then all of a sudden you went out one day and there were some new people on your farm you didn't recognize. But you could tell from their clothes, and the general condition of their face and their lack of hygiene, that they probably recently came across the border illegally. How do you treat them? Ruth is a Moabite. Remember, we talked about this last week. Who the Moabites were. In fact, this is all happening during the time of the judges. And if you remember, it was the Moabite king Eglon who had just recently attacked Israel and persecuted them. And here's Ruth, a Moabite. But his faith is evident in the grace that he extends and the way that he cares for her. But then we also see Ruth's faith on display. We don't want to miss that. Verse 2, what does Ruth do? Look back at verse 2. Ruth takes responsibility and initiative to work and provide for Naomi. Did you notice that? Naomi didn't say, hey, Ruth, get up. You need to go get a job. Somebody's got to work. We got to eat. No, Ruth is up and she's on it. Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor. She takes that initiative. Her faith is at work and going out and seeking for what the Lord may provide. And there's a key there that we'll talk about in a minute. And then as she's working, notice too that she works hard all day. Yes, yeah, she's hoping in God's grace to provide. But notice, trusting in God's grace to provide doesn't mean you sit at home twiddling your thumbs. I prayed about it. God's going to come through. The pastor said, God's always faithful. Great is his faithfulness. We're just trusting in him. So I'm just waiting for DoorDash to show up. No, she works hard all day. Look at verse 17. So she gleaned in the field until evening. I think Ruth's work ethic would put many of ours to shame. But she was working hard to provide. Look back at verse 7, in fact. This is how she approached the reapers in the field. She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers. She came and she continued working hard until Boaz even saw her. She sought after an opportunity and she asked about it. She didn't presume, but she approaches the workers in the field and asks if she can come and do something that the law provides for. She could have just walked in and started picking up grain. But she didn't. She came and she asked. And she responds to Boaz's kindness with this humble gratitude and even wonder. Look at verse 10. Why have I found favor in your eyes since I am a foreigner? Did you notice how even still in Ruth chapter 2, the text doesn't want you to miss that she's a Moabite. You're not going to forget it because it reminds you several times that she is a Moabite. She is a Moabite. And then in verse 10, she even says, I am a foreigner. And finally, by faith, she committed herself to Naomi and left behind her safety net, her family, her home. She left behind everything to travel with Naomi. Ruth's faith is on display and her commitment, her true and sincere commitment. But let's consider Naomi's heart. We don't want to miss this. Look at the way that Naomi responds to the blessing they receive from Boaz. It's in verse 20. Down to verse 20. Ruth shows up. She's got this package of extra food. She's got an ephah of barley. Who knows how much that is? What is the cost of gas these? What's an ephah of gas cost these days? What's an ephah? It's enough wheat and grain for them to eat for weeks. They can eat for weeks off of it. And so Boaz responds in verse 20. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he, after she says it's Boaz, may he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. Naomi also said to her, the man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers. You see, Naomi wishes that Boaz would be blessed by the Lord. It's the Lord whose kindness has not forsaken the living and the dead. What a change. What a difference in Naomi's life and heart and her attitude here in chapter 2. The sweet kindness of the Lord has confronted Naomi, and by faith she's at least recognized that this provision is from the Lord and that he has shown her his kindness. And that word kindness is this word hesed. It's hesed. It's a covenant love and commitment. It's God's covenant love to his people. It's also referred to as God's steadfast love. She recognizes that Boaz's kindness and provision is the result of God's hesed covenant faithfulness. But wait a minute. Where'd Mara go? What happened to Mara? Remember Mara? The end of chapter 2. The end of chapter 1. When she said, don't call me Naomi, verse 20, but call me Mara. And then look at how she describes her life. I mean, have you ever, does this resonate with any of you? Have any of you ever done something similar? Maybe, probably not out loud. You probably wouldn't say this out loud. But I wonder how many of you say things like this in your heart. Verse 21, I went away full and the Lord has brought me back empty. You know what I hear in that? I hear the Lord confronting Adam. Did you eat the fruit that I told you not to eat? The woman. The woman. It was the woman. Right? Blaming. She's blaming the Lord. The Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified? The Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity on me. How many of you have sat there? This is a grown-up, what is this? A pity party, right? You recognize it? Yeah. I mean, we want to applaud her faith and recognize her faith in chapter 2, but yet we also want to be mindful of the blind spot, the issue with her faith, and that's that the thermostat of her heart was her circumstances. That's what changed. That's what changed from chapter 1 to chapter 2, her circumstances. And then once her circumstances changed, she changed from Naomi to Mara, and then from Mara back to Naomi. Because her circumstances changed. Oh, I can be happy now. I can be pleasant now, because now I have provision that I can see and taste and touch. Rather than the thermostat of her heart being connected to the unchanging character of God. See the difference? It's how our hearts are capricious. I mean, how often in a given week does our heart respond like that? How many afternoons have we wasted with a bitter attitude, woe is me, angry, blaming others because the thermostat of our heart is connected to our circumstances, how people treat us, what we have in our lives, as opposed to being connected to the unchanging character of God. See, we have almost kind of Boaz and Ruth set here to show us kind of an example of consistent, comprehensive faith directing all of life, complete commitment to the Lord and how we live and following Him over against Naomi. Her heart's flipping and flopping. And again, what I love about this chapter is this is everyday life. Again, no miracles, no angels appearing in the sky, just everyday working of life. Hardworking from dusk till dawn, or is it dawn till dusk? But hardworking all day. Taking care of employees. Interacting with others. Facing the bitterness of loss or the sweetness and kindness and mercy of God. Our hearts are on display in every part of our lives. Every day, every moment, every disappointment. Every betrayal, the way we respond, the way we treat others reveals the orientation of our hearts and oh, how capricious they are. But there's another character here that we want to look at, and it's already up there. We want to see God's consistent kindness. Where our hearts can be capricious and flipping and flopping and uncertain, God's kindness is certain and consistent. And we see God's character even here, again, in this book that seems to be so natural. His sovereignty in leading Ruth into the fields of Boaz. Did you notice that when we read it? Verse 3. So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. She happened to come. That's God's sovereign work. We see his kindness towards the living and the dead in providing for Ruth and Naomi through Boaz, this redeemer. In fact, this is a really good example of the compatibility between the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. Both of them at work before us in Ruth chapter 2. First of all, think of God's sovereign hidden work as it's happening here through their lives, moving them to where he wanted them. I mean, think about this. God had a plan, and God wanted Ruth, a Moabite, to marry and conceive a son named Obed by the Israelite Boaz. Because through Obed, he was going to produce Jesse, and through Jesse, he was going to produce David, the king. But how is God going to do that when Ruth is in Moab and Boaz is in Bethlehem? Well, he uses a famine to prompt a man named Elimelech to move his family down to Moab so that Elimelech's son could marry Ruth. And then after the tragic events of losing her sons, and then the Lord provides food again to make Bethlehem attractive again to Naomi, Naomi says, oh, I should go back home. See, no angel appeared and said, Naomi, go back home. She just heard, hey, the Lord's providing food again back in Bethlehem. And she thought, I should go back home. So Yahweh is active in the life of his people, revealing even to Ruth in Moab through Naomi's faith and the faith of her sons, revealing to Ruth even then that Yahweh is the Lord to be trusted. So that Ruth believed life with Yahweh's people is better than life with my own people. And so Ruth was committed to go and follow. So Ruth arrives in Bethlehem with Naomi. She has to go to work to provide. So she gets up and she goes out to work hard in the fields and she meets Boaz. That's how God's going to do it. His sovereign work, yet our everyday choices and responsibility. You see, it's working together. And in response to Boaz's kindness, again, Ruth asked this question. And this has been pointed out, this has been highlighted by a couple of others, that the question in verse 10 is the question every one of us should be asking of the sovereign Lord. Look at the question she asked. Why have I found favor in your eyes since I am a foreigner? You see this, the weightiness, the significance of that? She recognizes that she stands outside of a covenant relationship with God the way the Israelites do. She recognizes that she deserves no favor. And yet she has it. She has this grace, this kindness. Why? Why is it hers? Why has it been extended to her? This is the question every one of us should be asking our sovereign Lord. Lord, why? Why have I found favor in your eyes? I am a foreigner. We are all covenant breakers. And the answer to that great question for each and every one of us is because God so loved us that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Jesus Christ is the answer to that question. It's in Christ that we enter into a saving covenant relationship with God. But what about, let's get back to Ruth. How does Boaz respond to her question? It's in verse 11 and following. You see, Ruth had demonstrated a trust. She had demonstrated a sincere faith in the Lord, and again, it was evident in the way that she left behind all that she knew, all of her security and safety. She still had family. Remember, because Naomi told her, go back to your mother's house. She still had family to go back to. She could have remarried. But she leaves all of that behind, family and home, committed to Naomi, believing that life with Naomi in Israel under Israel's God is better than anything she has back home. That's a decision of faith. So Boaz speaks these words in verse 12. They can seem a little puzzling to us. Look at verse 12. Boaz says, "The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." You see, it's the first part of this verse that might confuse, while the second half brings a little clarity. I mean, look at the first part of that verse. Is Boaz really saying that Ruth performed such good deeds that the Lord is going to repay her for her work? I mean, it sounds kind of like that, doesn't it? I mean, can we not just admit that's the way it sounds? But Ruth comes to us in the context of the rest of Scripture, in the context of the rest of the Old Testament. And we know, even from Old Testament Scriptures, that God's goodness and His kindness, that hesed love, is not based on works, it's based on grace. We know that. It's not as though Ruth is some employee that has performed so well that now the Lord owes her her wage. That's not what's happening. No, the Lord is the one in whose wings Ruth has come to take refuge. That's the key to what's happening here. All of her actions that we've read about were humble acts of faith in pursuit of God's kindness and provision. That's faith at work. This is what, even in the New Testament, James speaks about when he speaks about us being justified by works. He's not talking about the justification between us and God where we're declared righteousness. He's talking about the justification where our faith is proven. We go, aha, you do have faith. I can see your faith because of the way it's worked out in her life. That's what's happening with Ruth. Her faith is worked out in her life through the way that she is committed to Naomi, committed to coming and traveling with her to Israel. Ruth is living out Psalm 57, verse 1. "Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by." She believed that God had a kindness and a mercy, a refuge for her, even as she's a Moabite and a foreigner. This is the character of God. God always offers His mercy to all who come to Him seeking Him sincerely. That was Christ's heart. That was the heart of Christ. That's behind what sent Christ to come first to His own people and then to die to bring redemption to the world. Remember His words in Matthew chapter 23 where He's on a hill and He's looking at Jerusalem and Jesus laments, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." Again, that consistent kindness and mercy. You see, as Naomi and her sons lived their faith, surely they shared stories about how the Lord had delivered them from Egypt and brought them into the promised land. It had to come up, right? What's an Israelite doing in Moab? In fact, she would probably already kind of know, because remember, the Israelites traveled through that area when they came out of Egypt. Even as they explained that they left their home for a famine, certainly they expressed their hope that the covenant God would bless and provide for them. Like a mighty eagle, giving a little eaglet shelter beneath its wings, the Lord offers care and provision for His people. And she knew that, even in the book of Ruth, even during the time of Judges, even then, God extends His kindness and provision for those who seek Him earnestly. This is our Lord God. Listen, I just grabbed this a few verses. Again, I just want to, again, fill out some of this picture for you of our God. Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." John 5, 24. "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." One of my favorites, John 16, verse 33. Jesus said, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace." Do you get that? That you can have peace now. "In the world you will have tribulation," Jesus tells us. In the world you will have tribulation. Ruth knows tribulation. Naomi knows tribulation. "But take heart, I have overcome the world." Romans 10:9, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." That's from the true Redeemer. Jesus, the one who has come to redeem God's people, to rescue us, to provide for us, to purchase us out of slavery to sin. And as we look back to Ruth, look at Naomi's words to Ruth at the end of the chapter in verse 22. "And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, 'It is good, my daughter, that you go out with this young woman, lest in another field you be assaulted.'" Naomi encourages Ruth to heed the words of her kinsman redeemer. Follow them. Obey them. Stay with his people. That's the message here, that this is our God who provides for his people and consistently extends kindness and grace to those who seek him. We seek refuge under his wing. As I prayed before, we gather so many people coming from so many different situations and circumstances. I mean, in the past week, how many times would you say you were driven to a sense of aggravation, maybe even bordering on the line of self-pity? How many times in the past week have you found yourself there? Well, then look around and imagine, well, how many times have these others found themselves there? But if we come seeking earnestly, faithfully, the kindness of God, if we tie our heart to His unchanging character, oh, things are very different. If we stay with Him, if we heed His word, staying connected to Him, circumstances, situations, people change. Our income changes. Our living arrangements change. The friends in our life change. Naomi had a son, had two sons and a husband. Now she has none. But she has hope and can persevere because she has a Redeemer if she trusts in Him and seeks God's kindness sincerely. And so I encourage you today, seek the kindness of the Lord. Take refuge under His wing. In Jesus Christ, by faith. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you. We thank you for your grace, your provision in Jesus Christ. We thank you that you always extend your kindness and your mercy and your provision and protection in Christ to those who earnestly seek you. And so we pray, Lord, that you would help us. Help us to seek you by faith. Help us to come sincerely, looking to you, trusting in you. And Lord, help us every day in the regular struggles and temptations and trials of every day to remember we're under the wing of our great King. Let our hearts not be capricious. Let them not waver. But Lord, as you have set your love and affection upon us, help us by your Spirit to set our faith and hope and trust upon you. For great is your faithfulness. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.